Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Oh, it's kind of a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Sometimes you get nervous if they get, like...
I'm gay myself, and I grew up in Pleasant Plains. And I know what it's like to...
For you, lots of money.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night till... Well, till the sun goes down. Well, actually, well past the sun going down. In fact, the sun's down when we come on the air here. Our website is philhendryshow.com. I don't know what I was saying there. Anyway, our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So visit us. Watch our live streaming video. Look at the drama behind the scenes as well as the drama on the scene. And if you're lucky, you'll catch one of those nights where I'm going ballistic. And if you're lucky... Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. The creator of Mike and Molly calls the Marie Claire blogger hateful. We'll have Father James McCorders on the line with us here from Belmar Academy in just a moment to discuss the Mike and Molly situation, the whole controversy about, if there is a controversy, I never know whether these things are so manufactured. Do we really care if someone is overweight and they happen to be kissing another overweight person? Is this an issue, or did somebody from this magazine turn it into a phony baloney? Anyway, that'll be Father James McCorders on to talk about that with us. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, Dallas-Fort Worth, KFXR 1190 AM, and in Redding, California, KCNR 1460 AM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show network. So, what do we got here? Mike and Molly... they're going to do an episode, as a matter of fact, folks, that has just been announced based upon this Marie Claire issue, and it will be revolving around, I guess, one of them canceling a subscription. After a controversial Marie Claire column was written about Mike and Molly, its creator vowed to incorporate the experience into a storyline on the CBS show. So Mark Roberts, who himself battled weight issues, told Fancast.com that Marie Claire blogger Maura Kelly's post seemed like something someone would say when they're really drunk at a party with their other hateful friends. Father James McCorders is with us. And Father McCorders, I know you've worked with overweight teens as well as being a member of the San Gabriel Valley Diversity Council. And weight issues are part of that, right?
Well, they are part of it, too. Especially when you're talking about young people who have so many other issues, you know, that they have to deal with. And for a young person to not only be struggling with these issues of adolescence, whatever they may be, to also be struggling with their own physical maladies and weakness, whether it's a weight issue or other issues, it's terribly troubling. It's terribly debilitating, and we talk with them and try to find ways for them to cope with this, and as well as to interact with the rest of society in a positive way.
Now, let me play for you just, this is just a TV clip from the Mike and Molly show to give it our listeners and myself and yourself, Father, an idea what the show's like.
And for you, lots of money. One plain wiener. No bun, no sauerkraut, no chili, no mustard, no pickle, no cheese, no relish.
No tip. Give it to me.
Excuse me to inquire, but this meager meal seems insufficient for a man of your tremendous girth.
Just trying to drop a couple of pounds.
May I suggest you move to my country where everyone is fashionably thin due to lack of food?
Well, there you go. That is from the Mike and Molly show. We have with us Father James McCorders. So the show's about a couple of overweight people who are in love. They show physical attraction to each other and physical affection. And it was the Maura Kelly column which said that we don't want to look at fat people that sparked this outrage and this backlash. And now I think that this writer has been forced to apologize, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's not my place, I don't think, to comment on whatever the policy was for her magazine. I'm not familiar with it. I will say that I heard her criticism. And I've also heard the criticism of others, as you have. But I think there are places and there are times for these criticisms. And this woman writing what she wrote, which was, I take it, a criticism of how disgusting, I guess, was the word she used. It is to see fat people kissing, if I'm not mistaken.
That's essentially it, Father, yeah.
It's not the time or the place to say this. I think it is probably a truism to say that there are very few of us that would disagree with that. I think it's a truism to say that there are very few of us that want to sit in a restaurant and look at two of these people that are of this physical size, of the physical shape that these people are in. No one really wants to look at two of those people kissing or doing the things that they do, but you can't say these things in public the way this woman did and hope for any sympathy at all.
Well, you work with overweight kids. Are you saying that it's disgusting to see overweight kids hugging each other, or...?
Well, I'm saying that in the public arena, this writer is saying we don't want to see fat people hugging and kissing. Well, ladies, I don't think there's any doubt that she's right, but I don't think you say that in the way that she said it. Now, in working with overweight teens, and we have our dances, we have a dance for the teen. Some of these children who are not physically attractive, we have a dance for them. And we have areas of the dance floor at the regular dances, the regular teen dances we have for high school, that we hang some kind of a sheet or some kind of a barrier separation where these children can go and they can dance. Because we recognize that while these children are overweight and deserve to have a good life, no one wants to look at it and no one wants to see it. So that's what we do to try to make their lives better. But you don't come out in the open as this Kelly. And I believe it's
her name's Maura Kelly.
As this Maura Kelly woman did. And say, I'm disgusted by looking at fats, kissing and hugging and so forth. I don't think there's any doubt that you're going to find people disagreeing with that. But you don't ever make the issue in public where you denigrate people in public like that. And you segregate, for instance...
You are segregating the fat kids from the skinny kids at the dance? You think that's going to help them deal with their weight issues?
Well, I don't know, Bill, but you do have to create a comfortable atmosphere for both, the skinny ones and the fat ones. I don't know. What helps them with their weight issues is to recognize one-on-one. And when we sit down with the kids, we say to them, well, now, you know, the first thing I want to say to you is, if you're hugging and kissing in public and you're dancing, you know it's going to disturb a great many people. And so we want you to be mindful of that. And then we can get to your weight issue. But before we get to your weight issue, we've got to draw some ground rules here, and we've got to make you aware of something. If you're out in the public and you're kissing and hugging and rubbing, you're going to make people sick. And you have to understand, no way, you can't do it. You know, you don't want these fat kids running the events for the skinny and the bit. And we have to totally be honest with these big ones about the other people and their feelings around them. And I think you mentioned something like that once, Phil.
I did. Let me give our number. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. What did I say?
You told me that you had been on a Disney cruise with your wife and your children, and you saw two very big women dancing with a little skinny man.
I said I saw...
They were fat women, weren't they?
Well, they weren't obese.
No, but they were fat women. They were big women, weren't they?
They were big women, yeah.
And they had taken this small man, a skinny man, I think you said.
Well, he wasn't skinny. I mean, he was probably a fit guy. He was a little guy. I think he might have been the husband.
And did you see how you almost said wife? You see how it's an American...
No. I meant to say husband. He might have been.
But it's an emasculating thing to be a small, thin man and to be told to go out onto a dance floor, and I'll see you out there, and you know what's going to greet you when you get out there, and that's the big wife. And when you said that to me that night, Phil, my heart sunk for that man. And yet I knew that there was no way you could talk about it on the radio. Tonight, I think we had to come clean with it.
Well, I don't know that there's anything to come clean with. I said to you at that time when I was talking to you, I saw these two large women dancing. You know, it's a funny thing about the Disney crew. We took the kids on this cruise, and...
Well, I don't... If you could get to the essential, because I don't want people to lose interest if you're going to tell us your life story. If you can...
I'm not giving my life story. I'm just saying when you go on something like a Disney cruise, and they have stuff for kids, and they have stuff for adults, and they have nightclubs on this ship for adults, so... The reason why I'm saying all of this is I think that some people just loosen up a little bit, and these were two big, you know, women.
But they were fat women. You see how your instinct is healthy. Your instinct is to not say anything about it. Your instinct is to keep your mouth shut and to not say, these two fat women made me sick to look at. And
well, they did not make me sick to look at.
No, you are not going to say that. But for the fact that you said you saw them dancing with a little skinny man, a little tiny man, and a man perhaps with no future, perhaps no past. He might have been married to one of the women. He might have not have been married. I don't know. A little tiny man. A little man who might have made a big life for himself. And now the man has been taken out of the dance floor by a big woman. What future does a little man have?
Well, all I'm saying is I think that he probably was the husband of one of these ladies, and it was amusing to me. It wasn't sickening. It wasn't any of those things. It was amusing to me, Father, to see this little guy dancing with these two big women. It made me laugh, but I was not sickened by that, okay?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, the obese children that we work with, I counsel them, and I think they appreciate my honesty with them when we're in private. I tell them they're fat, that they make people physically ill when they show any sort of affection in public. At least that kid said, thank you for the honesty, Father. And I think it gives them the motivation. But you don't come out in public and say, I went on a Disney cruise, I saw a little tiny man. He went out of the dance floor with two big women. And the next thing I saw was a little man, he was squished between the two fat, you know, you didn't. I know you didn't.
I wouldn't say that because that didn't happen.
But that's the instinct.
No, I don't think so. Well, let me tell you, our 877-876-PHIL, Father James McQuarters has joined us. The instinct to say that looking at fat people having affection for each other does make us ill. Most of us don't say it in public. What Maura Kelly said in her blog, according to Father McQuarters, is pretty much how people feel. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So does watching large people have affection for each other make you sick? Is Father McQuarters reflecting a view that's held by a lot of people, or is he a little bit off base on this thing? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about Mike and Molly and Maura Kelly.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Father James McQuarters from Belmar Academy joining us. The Mike and Molly episode, well, not the Mike and Molly episode, the Mike and Molly show, was the subject of a column by Maura Kelly in this Marie Claire website magazine. In it, she said that she'd received a lot of complaints and that CBS had received a lot of complaints about looking at fat people on TV, kissing, hugging, having physical affection, and that she herself found it gross. Joining me is Father James McQuarters. You don't necessarily disagree yourself. You're saying that it was going public with it.
Well, you don't go public with something like that. The essential point that must be made is that I don't think Maura Kelly needs to remind anyone She certainly doesn't need to remind the people at CBS. And she doesn't need to remind myself. She doesn't need to remind you. Nor really doesn't need to remind the people that read her column. That when we see someone that's overweight, or we see people, these unfortunate people that are battling this weight problem, or like the ladies that you saw on the ship that night, and these women were dancing with a little skinny man, a little man. And you can well imagine the debilitation, psychological debilitation, of being a little skinny man with a wife that's a big, fat... I don't know what else to say. What does that do to a man? But you don't go public with it. You don't say it. You don't, as they say now, what's the word they use? The kids say, you don't put it on blast.
You don't put it on blast.
Right, you don't put it on blast. And that's exactly what this Maura Kelly did. And when she did that, she rolled back decades of progress we've made in trying to get these overweight people to understand that while we recognize they've got a right to eat, if they want to eat, they can eat themselves to death if they want to, watch them eat, and then put down a piece of food, put down a greasy turkey leg, and then immediately with the same lips, glistening with grease, planting them on the lips of a loved one. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Are you being overly dramatic?
No, you can ask your audience. I get the mail, too.
But are you being overly dramatic? And isn't it insulting? I mean,
I don't want to talk about this, Phil. That Maura Kelly woman forced us to talk about it. That's the problem. I didn't want to talk about this any more than you did. But this woman put it public, and now we have to discuss it public.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to our phone calls here tonight. We have Leanne on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Leanne. You're on with Father James McCorders.
Father James McCorders. My name is Leanne Mills, and I am a Catholic girl. How dare you ever say that children should be segregated from one another because they are overweight? You need to go back to your Bible.
Dancing together.
You need to read your tenement again. You are in no position to judge anyone.
You're overweight, aren't you?
Children.
Yes, she
they
is.
deserve to be loved.
I agree with you. But why would you hide behind the child when the weight issue is your own?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I said, why would you hide behind the child when the weight issue is your own?
Are you telling me I have a 14-year-old son? My son stands 6 feet, 2.5 inches tall. He weighs 256 pounds and wears a size 14.
Oh, God have mercy.
Excuse me?
I said, God have mercy on that child at 6'2", 280 pounds, and he's 10? How old did you say it was, 10 or 11?
My son is 14 years old.
And he's 6'2", 280. I don't know how you're doing the boy a favor. I don't know how you're doing the boy a favor by saying to him, you go right ahead and eat something that's greasy or what have you.
My son is 6'2", and he weighs 256.
Is he eating grease?
Did I give him grease? No, I breastfed, Father.
What's that?
I breastfed my son. He's healthy. Check your age bracket and check your documentation.
What has that got to do?
My son does not eat grease. My son plays
football. You're breastfeeding. At the age of 14, you're breastfeeding him?
No. My son plays football.
That's exactly. At the age of 14, you said you breastfed him?
She said she breastfed him as an infant.
All right.
I didn't breastfeed him now. That would be disgusting.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be honest with me.
Sure.
How big are you? Let's talk. Let's talk turkey.
Okay.
How big are you?
I'm sorry. I'm driving,
How big are you? How tall are you and how heavy are you?
Okay. I'm 5'7", and what I weigh is none of your business.
Okay,
I'm married.
So that means you're pushing 300.
No, I'm
and
not pushing
this is why,
and how dare you make those kind of assumptions? And
why couldn't I? Your son is 6'2", 300, or whatever you said. Why wouldn't I assume that you're hefty as well?
And what I'm trying to say, I never told Maura Kelly to write that column. I did not want her to write that column. She wrote the column. Now I have to talk to people, and I have to say to the young ones. How tall am I?
How tall are you?
5 foot five.
You're 5 feet 5 inches tall. So my son, at 6 feet 2 inches tall, at age 14.
Right. It's a freak.
Phil Hendry.
Boy.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacific.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, my apologies as to some internet problems we've had tonight, guys. And the internet is a vital link on this radio show. We do our radio show from a studio here at the El Pacifico, just north of the city of Los Angeles. We communicate to our master control, which is in another western city. My producer, who is also in another western city further to the northwest, and we have a modern radio show. But one of the things about the modern age of radio, the modern age of multimedia, is that we have long lines of communication. And if you're a student of the great battles, warfare, and the great battles of history, as I am. I'm not a combat veteran. I'm not a soldier, but I'm a student of history, and I've studied these great battles, and you often hear them say our supply line was too long. The reason why the Germans were beaten by the Russians in World War II, among many reasons, but one of the reasons was their supply line. They outran their supply line. One of the things we were worried about in the Iraq War was that we were heading into Baghdad with this long supply line, and we were worried that supply line was vulnerable because, as you can well imagine, a supply line is almost like just one long strand, a long column of trucks and men, and either side is rather vulnerable. And we worried at the end of the Second World War as we advanced toward Germany that our supply line, again, was going to be stretched out too much, although we made damn sure at that particular point that we had plenty of men, plenty of supplies, plenty of equipment. And by that point in the war, the Germans were no longer able to harass our supply lines. Now, let's bring it to the modern age of radio. It's got nothing to do with war, although we are in our own way every day fighting a battle here. And in this context, our supply line would be our connection to the ultimate resource we use to push our radio show out to all of you. And our connection to our producing support. All of those connections, those two connections, are by way of the internet and by way of telephone line. So, again, you have this supply line, and if there is something vulnerable about it, if it is stretched beyond its ability to service you, and I'm not saying that that's the case, but there obviously are going to be nights or days or weeks, perhaps, when things are a little bit more vulnerable. And you guys know, you've got cable service, you have internet service, and you how many times have you cursed your computer when your cable provider, blah, 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 or your ISP, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, Jesus, I can't get on, I can't get my email. Something's wrong. Well, imagine that in the context of doing a radio show. And that's exactly what has happened here tonight. I've had no communication with, very little in the way of proper communication with my producer. I have also lost connection to our primary way of getting to you, our video cast, our webcast, our Phil TV HD webcast that we do every single night.
because we have lost that connection, that internet connection, we have been unable to deliver to you this evening our webcast. And for that, I apologize, because we have subscribers to our site, and we've got a lot of subscribers to our site, and a lot of people that enjoy watching that. They enjoy watching me lose my mind every night. They enjoy watching me go in and out of character every night. They enjoy watching us do the show. Only tonight they can't watch us do the show, because the connection between me and them is now no more. Not no more, but it doesn't work. So Fred Scotty, who's a fantastic engineer, our technical guy at our main studio, is working with the internet service provider. We have determined that we do have a problem, not within our studio or within our computers, but within the line itself. And we're going to work on that. Now, that's as much background as I can give you.
That's pretty good.
Does you understand it, Bud?
Yeah.
Robert?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I know is I had a lot of people early in the show that said they can't get the video cast, you know.
Well, that's when we knew we had a problem. That's when we knew we had a problem. A lot of people saying, wait a second, because in addition to our radio broadcast and the many great affiliates we have a lot of people who are watching and listening online. And those are the people that suddenly said, wait a minute. And as I said, they are people who pay money to not only listen, but more to the point, they pay money to watch. They pay money for the podcast. It's a paying business. You hear what I'm saying? You know, it's
paying business. Radio station paying too.
No, I know that. See, one of the we got to do around here, like I've been telling you guys, man, we got to get organized, baby. We got to get organized. You know, I forget what was that Laurel and Hardy movie we were watching?
Yeah, the guy said I got to get organized.
One of those two fat, of either the fat guy or the little, I forget which one, said, we got to get organized, man. So that's what we're going to do around here, is get organized. And I say this with the greatest of kindness. We just, it's just been a tough period. But we'll fight our way through it. Thank you very much for staying with us. What can I tell you, man? You know, this is a time in the history of man on this planet. It's very revolutionary. There's all kinds of different ways to communicate. There's all kinds of different ways to deliver things to you. It's no longer, folks, about radio or TV. It's about delivery device. Have you heard anybody say that? Now, you guys are involved in very vital jobs. You are construction people. You're construction work. You may be engineers, contractors. You may be doctors, lawyers. You're mothers. You're teachers. You're police officers. You're doing the real work. See, we're here as entertainers and communicators. We are way, way out, man. We're like the 9th, 10th, 15th ring of civilization. You start out with the food growers, and then you get a little bit further out to the soldiers and the police and then the mothers and the this and the that and the doctors. And, blah, 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 blah. And finally, when everything else is done, then we can start having things like poets and singers and dancers and guys that talk on the radio for a living like me. I'm way out there in terms of necessity. So the last thing that I want to do is waste your time, and I sure as hell don't want to come on here every night and say, let's go to the video cast, and suddenly we ain't got one. So to that end, we have to work with our people who are the technical people, and we will do that. But I am very aware of the fact that it is a new age. This is probably one of the more profound periods in human history, not unlike the Industrial Revolution, when the Industrial Revolution urbanized our population, heavy machinery became the norm as opposed to something that was unusual, and, you know, we were more of an agrarian farming society. And, oh, look at that, it's a steam engine. Well, shut my mouth. Well, next thing you knew, everywhere you looked, steam and coal and machines, and we were transformed not just as a country but as a world. And being a farmer, pulling a plow, milking a cow, taking the a box of apples down to the market, that became something that was secondary in this country, not any less vital, but secondary. Now, we have entered into a new, if you will, industrial revolution. Only it's not an industrial revolution. It's a revolution of communication. It's a revolution of communication and information delivery. Where once upon a time it was important for us to churn out railroad cars, automobiles, horse and buggies. It was important for us to churn out pieces of machinery that might be attached to bridge building, pieces of machinery that might be attached to a steam shovel or steam shovels themselves. Now we have developed systems by way of this new technology to deliver information, because now we find that information, more than anything else in this world, is gold. Absolute gold. How do we know? Take a look at Wall Street. Take a look at Wall Street. Take a look at an individual who's able to read the news properly. That man is going to make a lot of money. A guy that can read the news and read the events of the world is going to make a lot of money in the next 24, 48 hours. More money than the guy that can't. That's the world we live in. And, of course, we live in a world where news is now a product, as the man said. I can't control that, but I am a part of it. And everything we do here on our radio show has in mind the multimedia platforms that we operate from: internet, radio show, video, social media. We do it all here on the Phil Hendry Show. And there are nights when everything just breaks down. One of the reasons for that is that the radio industry itself, and I've said this what's the matter with you?
You didn't even talk about this all night.
No, I ain't going to talk about it all night.
Yeah, because, you know.
What?
Well, aren't you going to read the news and...
I'll do what I want. Get out of here. I'll do what I want to do. Tell me, am I going to talk about it all night?
Well, you know.
I like it. You guys, you see, it's over your head. See, that's the problem with you guys. You don't get it. I do.
Well, I don't know what you mean by multimedia, all that.
Multimedia. Many different forms of communicating. The point that I'm making is this. On this show, on our radio show, and on any other radio show that knows what it's doing, you know, we're attempting to communicate on these different platforms. Now, the business I'm in, the industry of radio itself, and I've said this at these different panels that I've been on, the industry itself is slow to, has been very, very slow to react. It's been very slow to pick up on these new forms of communication. And as a result, radio, the industry, is not ready to support what it is the talent, want to do. I was at a panel in Los Angeles here 3 weeks ago. We were talking about multimedia. I was on the panel with a bunch of young guys, young broadcasters, and other guys. Big Boy, who's on a hip-hop station. Rick Dees, who's the top, you know, he's a CHR disc jockey. Me, I do a talk show. Dr. Drew, he's a medical guy. But all of us were talking the same thing. We were talking about internet, as well as internet radio, as well as satellite, as well as regular broadcasting. I mean, we were there talking about this stuff, making it happen. The industry itself, though, the CEOs, the people who run our business, they are lost. They're lost. They're trying to come up with a corporate paradigm for this. We're doing it every day here on an individual level with you, the listener, every single day. The only problem I've got is Time Warner. Ah!
Well, I gotta get that thing fixed.
That's right. It's the only problem I got is keeping the internet connected. If I had a big company, you know, they could start their own internet company, I guess, their own ISP. But I don't want to do that. So, you know, and here's another thing. I think this is very interesting. I don't know about you. If I was an ISP, if I was a company that provided internet service, and I saw all these entrepreneurs that have suddenly popped up everywhere, I would have commercial accounts. I would have special ways that they could utilize, as opposed to just the home user. I would really diversify. But they don't do that. They don't do that. Why? It's not cost effective. I think it's very cost-effective. I think they'd make a lot of money. Here's the reason why they don't do it. I don't think they've got the people there with the brains to figure out how to make it work. I'm serious when I say that. I don't think Time Warner or some of these other companies have got enough people who can conceptualize that and figure out how to do it. Otherwise, they'd do it. I'd pay more. I would pay more if there were other people like me, individual entrepreneur business owners who are using the internet in a commercial way and would be willing to pay more. I know they're out there. Well, these guys could make themselves a couple of dollars, don't you think? Or am I just being, is it too obvious, you know?
Yeah, they probably don't want you to give me an idea. They want to think of it.
Oh, well, okay. Tell you what, Time Warner, you can think of it. I'll let you own the idea. All I'm asking for is this. A commercial account that I can have access to maintenance, the maintenance of 24 hours a day, so that if something happens at 3 o'clock in the morning, you guys are Johnny on the spot fixing stuff. That's what we need. When we're talking about a business, that's what we need. Somebody that's using it for their home use, you know. Oh, wow, I couldn't get online, man, to play Myth. Can you guys, well, no, I'm sorry, you know, but if this is a business. So there's food for thought here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are starting our news and commentary hour a little early. We've got information here on the zombie invasion. Isn't that cute?
What is that, anyway?
Oh, quit it.
Well, why do you do it?
It's a joke, man. It's a joke. The CDC had a booklet on what to do if there's a zombie invasion as a way of promoting their hurricane preparedness. Some people are hooking that in with the end of the world. Oh, yeah, that's right. On Saturday, you heard about that one. So there's a lot of stuff to kick around and laugh at. We'll be back with it here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On a night of all kinds of fireworks, all kinds of high-tech gadgetry gone awry. But we're here, and here we will remain. And I want to tell you that in between and over top of and underneath all of the different problems that we may have or may not have on this show in terms of the high-tech nature of it, one thing is for sure, and one thing we don't need high-tech for, and that is what, bud?
Dynapep!
That's right, Dynapep. Now, if you had the video cast up right now, and it wasn't down because we don't have internet connection, you would see here Ted the Bear holding his, what's he got there, Robert?
You got a cinnamon Dynapep, Ted the Bear, and Buddy Bear, they got the same thing, only turn away.
Yeah, Buddy Bear's is turned away, it's pointing at the camera, which is not working. Anyway, he has the cinnamon, and like I was saying to you, bud, next time you order up another case of Dynapep, get us something more than cinnamon, if you don't mind.
I told you, that's the only one they sent.
Well, then tell them that I demand more, because I love my Dynapep, and I'll tell you why, folks. It is a time-release energy microshot. Now, you can get this at 7-Eleven right now. Get in the car if you want, or if you're on the road, go ahead and stop off at your 7-Eleven. 10 times the power, up to 10 hours, and it's only 2 calories. There's no jitters. There's no crash. And it's all natural. And it's something that's going to help you, as it helps us each and every night, clamor through the news of the night and the events of the night here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's called Dynapep. Get it now at 7-Eleven or visit Dynapep.com. The time-released energy microshot. Dynapep. Let me get my... in fact, it comes here in the little case.
You can get there.
I got my one microshot here. Very good. A lot of people will put it into a drink, Robert.
Yeah, I'll put it in a Coca-Cola sometime.
You can put it into lemonade. Do whatever you want with it. But because I'm an animal,
ew.
You know, take it easy. Because I'm nothing more than an animal, I just go ahead and drink that stuff down. Dynapep. And Dynapep is a sponsor of ours, a great sponsor of ours, and has been, and hopefully forevermore. Dynapep. All right. Here on the Phil Henry Show in our news and commentary hour, what was it, bud?
Well, the story I thought was very interesting about Area 51. Now someone says that there's Nazis and...
Yeah, that's good. And Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin?
Yeah, they said a Nazi and Stalin.
A Nazi and Stalin got together and they put those aliens at Area 51?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is it was a book, right?
Yeah, it's a book that Lee wrote.
A new book is out about Area 51, and wait till you hear this. This'll ride your wig right off. Some woman has written a book, and naturally, when you hear of books about Area 51, you know, A, the reason why we're bringing them up is because they're interesting and fun. It has to do with people from outer space, and Area 51 will forevermore be an area of interest. If it ain't Area 51, it ain't an area of interest.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so, it's an area of interest. Number two, when we talk about Area 51, it's also a guaranteed sell for anybody that wants to write books. You can write a book about Area 51 and come up with every kind of crazy concept that you want. Now, this new book has been written by Ann Jacobson. She's a reporter who authored the book Area 51. Now, when did this book, it's a new book. Is it called Area 51?
Yeah, I think it's Area 51. It's the name of the book called Area 51.
Don't get funny with me, okay?
No, it is. It's called Area 51.
It is.
All right, so it's a book about Area 51 called Area 51.
Yeah.
All right. Now, is truth stranger than conspiracy theory fiction? Well, a new book on Area 51 that's already generating a ton of buzz. Among who? You know? Wow, this is really getting some conversation going here, man, this one. You know what? We've got to take a break at the top of the hour, and when we come back, we're going to give you the whole lowdown here on this new book about Area 51 that's generating a ton of buzz. I hate to say this, but any book that generates a ton of buzz about Area 51 is only generating buzz among a lot of people that have got bees in their bonnet, if you'll pardon the expression.
All right.
Thank you. Notice how I tied that into, you know, buzzing?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with the book on Area 51 and where I was originally conceived. World famous Phil Henry Show.
What's that?
Don't worry about it.
Phil Henry.